Welcome, Stuart. Stuart Folks. Is this why you've picked Moonshaped by Can, these gorgeous sounds? Oh, let me turn you up. That'll help with a sound recorder if I turn your mic up. Welcome.
Thanks very much. Hello.
Come quite close to your mic there. Yeah, why did you pick this to play? It's Can.
I love Can. Can's what it's basically my all-time favourite music. I think obviously there's some of the sounds in that track that work kind of well for the theme as well. And over the years, with Damo Suzuki, I've played live with him a few times
Have
as
you?
A musician. And it's just an incredible experience to hear how he guides musicians through improvisations and guides them through the music just using his voice. Just really amazing experience.
Pretend to be him now as we listen to the music.
I think he's inimitable.
Oh. Okay, let's let it finish and we'll come back in a second. This Moonshake and the album was recorded in the studio North Rhine-Westphalia, and apparently was captured despite the studio's heating system developing a gas leak during the session. You hear so many examples of these sounds or these atmospheres that kind of find their way subliminally or actually manifest themselves on the recordings, don't you? Like, we've got one example coming up soon of a flyover by a plane that got captured in the middle of a beautiful ambient sound. And we hear the urinal and the clash because they were recording, because many people do go to bathrooms to record because they've got this lovely kind of live sound. You know, the sound sounds very lively in shiny surface places like bathrooms. But Stuart, let me start with a message that just came through. One of my favourite things, this is from Neil in Redden. One of my favourite things to do as a kid was go to a local hi-fi shop and listen to the sound of the various ejections of cassettes and CD players. I bought a mini hi-fi once just for the slow, soothing sound of the cassette ejection. And you can imagine that, can't you? Because it used to be quite clunky, and then suddenly these beautiful, smooth mechanics came in.
Absolutely. I feel like I should probably have a chat with Neil and we could spend half an hour talking about the smooth ejection processes on cassette machines.
Is this why you got into sound in the first place? Where did it start for you?
I've been in this kind of more of a sonic person than a visual person since I can really remember. And I've been recording sound for almost as long as I can remember. And I think it's just that sound is such an intimate sense, and it's so close to us. Kind of every day we can all hear before we can see, we can all hear before we're born, and it's just something that's very close to the way we live our lives day to day. And I think listening, the way recording sound has helped me to listen to the world differently and more closely and better. And I think that's a really important skill that I really value.
And the association with memory and kicking off of memories, right? So I'm quoting you now, Stuart. To me, it's much more impactful to listen to a field recording, say, of New York City and hear the steam coming out of the pavements and the sirens of the fire engines going past and the noise from the buildings than it is to see a photo of Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that speaks to the closeness of sound. If I ask you what New York looks like, you'll probably say, I don't know, the Statue of Liberty or something along those lines.
High buildings.
Yeah, exactly. But if I ask you what New York sounds like, then you immediately, things become closer, they become more visceral, they become about
Shouting.
Like metro doors closing and hissing steam pipes and taxis going past and those big fire engine sirens bouncing off the side of the skyscrapers.
And people slapping the yellow taxis.
Exactly, yeah. It just becomes much more of a... It brings everything to life in a way that I think images don't.
And is that why you co-founded, are you the sole founder of Cities and Memories? And if you can just, in a nutshell, tell us what you're achieving, because it's a whole map. You sent us a world map, which is lovely, following on from our guest last week and our talk about lost maps.
Yeah, so Cities and Memories is something I started about 10 years ago. It's become one of the world's largest sound projects, and it's defined by this idea of remixing the world one sound at a time. So what we do is we take the recordings of the world, we take field recordings, whether those are the sounds of nature, the sounds of protest, the sounds of religion, or maybe some of these disappearing and obsolete sounds that we're going to be talking about. and then we offer them up to artists and musicians around the world, and they create compositions built from those recordings. So what we do is we put them all onto a global map that you've just described, and every location there are two sounds. There's the recording, and then you can also hear how an artist has taken that recording and applied their own memory, their own musical skills, their own kind of life experience to that sound to create something really new.
Are these then put on streaming platforms as well if they're commercially released, or is it just for art's sake?
It's all up on the sound map, and it's all up on all the podcast platforms as well. So there's a Spotify and an Apple Music and all that kind of stuff. So every time something's uploaded, it goes out across all those platforms too. Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about that and more besides, but we've got great music lined up. Broadcast, why this one? City in Progress, talk about cities.
So Broadcast, I mean, they're an amazing band, and I think they tie in with lots of these themes of obsolete sound. So they have this, you know, they're related to this whole hauntology kind of movement.
I've never heard that word before. Hauntology.
Like, yeah, calling back to things like public information films from the 70s, 80s TV, calling back to a past that's slightly uncanny and slightly unsettling, and bringing all of that together. So using library music and field recordings and calling back to obscure psych bands like the United States of America, but then writing cracking pop songs with it as well.
Hauntology. I love that. Broadcast and City in Progress. I'm lining up as many of the sounds you brought in with you, Stuart, because they're gorgeous. Let's start with Radio BBC England. What's this?
So that's an interval signal for BBC World Service from 1980. So I ran a project called Shortwave Transmissions, which was collecting all these wonderful shortwave radio collections from all over the world. And this is so an interval signal allows a listener using an analog tune to find the correct frequency, or it tells people other stations that frequency is in use, or if you're scanning through the analog airwaves and you come across something that it's in a language you don't understand, the interval signal will still tell you what station that is, and that it is a radio station you're listening to. So it's kind of to identify stations and to help listeners on the old school analog dial front.
How many are flying through the air at any one time, do you think?
It must be thousands. You know, there are still plenty of long wave and short wave radio stations all around the world, so these interval signals are still a thing, although I doubt the World Service are pumping out too many of them these days.
Let's go to something completely different. What's this?
Yeah. So that is a sewing machine, but not just any sewing machine. So a couple of years ago, Cities of Mary did a project called Migration Sounds, which is about the sounds of human migration. So as part of that, I went around London interviewing various diaspora communities and recording the sounds that kind of make up their daily life. So this is from a dressmaker on Bethnal Green Road. And he's been working there for 17 years. He mostly does kind of repairs and outfits for the Asian community. But he was talking to me about how business is harder. More and more shops are closing down because of things like outsourcing and fast fashion. But he was also telling me this beautiful story about how, you know, the older generation of Bangladeshis on Bethnal Green Road are still often returning home to Bangladesh. But a lot of the younger generation are kind of forgetting, almost forgetting the country and not returning anymore. And he was telling me how sad that was. But all of that is a story and a memory that comes from the sound of a sewing machine. So behind that simple sound, you've got the story, you've got these lives, you've got migration, you've got human life going on. And that's why I think I love about all of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Sound and memory. Again, we've just got a message just by chance just came in. The sound of the waves in a song like Sitting on the Dock of the Bay takes me back to Pembrokeshire. So there's this link back to, you know, where your origins are, where you spent your youth, perhaps. And that is always clicked off with sound. Let's hear this sound. Let's see if I can play it for you. Oh, where is that one? Oh, I can't. Let's try with this one first.
Tour to Hull will depart from platform 11, calling at South Milford, Selby and Hull. Platform 11 for the 1412 to Hull.
That sounds quite modern.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Ah, this is one that came through Zara. I'm so sorry. Let me just try another one here. If I can just describe to people listening, I've got a whole computer here with about 100 different sounds. So I'm busy trying to pick through them for the relevant ones. This is Slide Projector by Stuart, right? Have I got the right one here?
This one isn't by me, but it's from the project that we did called Obsolete Sound. So the thing with Cities of Memory is it's completely open to anyone to take part in. So some of these sounds I recorded myself. Some of them were provided by an organisation called Conserve the Sound in Germany, which a lot of those technical recordings of cassette players are by them. But then it was also crowdsourced around the world. So people were sending me all kinds of crazy recordings of old technology and old video games and things from the past from all over the world.
You are very, very interested, passionate, I would say, about maps and collecting this data from all over. But can you see any trends? Are there any particular places, any countries or cultures that really are fascinated by collecting sounds and sharing them?
I think there is something interesting basically everywhere in the world, and it all depends on your personal perspective. You know, sound is so personal. I can go on holiday to Amsterdam or to Berlin. I can become fascinated by the sound of a pedestrian crossing signal because it's not the same as it is here in the UK, and I'll be like, I must record that. It sounds different.
Billie Eilish, didn't she do a very famous song with a pedestrian crossing sound? I think
there you go.
If I remember right, yeah.
But what's mundane and boring to one person is completely fascinating to someone coming there for the first time. So you apply yourself and your life and your memory every time you walk around and open yourself up to the sounds of a city or a space, I think.
What do you like to travel with then, Stuart? Do you always like you got headphones and microphones? Stop, shh.
Yeah, I'm a real pain. I will just whip out my recorder at a moment's notice. I must get this recording. Just give me 10 minutes.
I love it already. Stuart Dempster next, Secret Currents. Why this one? And then we'll play a trail. And then I think we'll go quiet and play William Basinski and Janek Schaefer on Reflection 5 that you've picked too, Stuart. Why these two? First up, the William Basinski. Describe why we're going to hear that one's quite ambient, isn't it?
Yeah, so the William Basinski and Janek Schaefer, it's an album called On Reflection. And for me, it's a really beautiful use of field recordings and music together. Quite often, if you're putting recordings into music, it's easy to whack a sample of some waves or some birdsong under a music track and say that it's all done. But in this piece, you'll hear really light, gentle piano and synths. And the field recording almost becomes environmental. It becomes part of the piece. And I think as you're listening to it, you'll probably find that sounds drifting in through your kitchen window are going to feel like they're becoming part of the track as much as the recording that's, the recordings that are present.
So open your windows haven't already, of course you have. And then the Stuart Dempster.
And the Stuart Dempster album is something that I think changed my life about 20 years ago when I heard it, honestly. It's an album where a trombonist called Stuart Dempster took 9 other trombonists into a 2-million-gallon underground cistern somewhere near Seattle with a 45-second natural reverb, which is obviously such a long reverb you can't even speak in there. So they had to play these pieces by gesturing with the trombones at each other when they needed to change notes. But it's got such amazing space and beauty to it. And it really, it told me that ambient music didn't need to be electronic. It can be made by nine guys with trombones who have gone into a hole, and I just think it's an extraordinary record.
That make you whenever and wherever you want.
Six Music Indie Forever.
It's a new 24/7 stream from Six Music playing back-to-back classics, indie anthems, and mixes curated to match your mood.
Mr. Mandela Man.
All day, every day.
Six Music Indie Forever.
Listen now on BBC Sounds.
And on your smart speaker. Just say, play Six Music Indie Forever.
Diana Haunting. Ooh, that were hearing. Yeah, it's reminding me of the sea organ, which I've also lined up. We had the sea organ from Croatia in a show about 2 weeks ago or so. I love the sound. Have you been there, Stuart?
No, I haven't. There's a couple of recordings in the project from the sea organ. It's definitely on my bucket list of sonic locations.
Cities and Memory is such a great project to be involved with as a sound artist. Thanks so much to Stuart. For creating and organising it so well. This is from Taylor. My guest is, if you just joined us, Stuart Folks. We are now listening to, and I'm going to bring it out, so in your own time, it's William Baczynski and Yannick Schaefer, and an album called On Reflection. Beautiful choice, Stuart. So, yeah, if you could get, how does it work? Like, is it, you know, do people kind of download stuff for free? How does it all work for building new art as well? Because obviously there are copyright restrictions when you do that.
Yeah, so I mean, Cities and Memory is completely open to anyone to take part in. So it's not just about, you know, professional sound recorders or professional musicians. It's about anyone who's sticking their mobile phone out of the window and recording what's going on this morning. It's about anyone who's just starting out playing music or playing around with sound. So you can either submit a field recording or you can take a field recording and create a musical composition out of it. So yeah, it's totally open for everyone.
Tell us how best to find you if somebody's really interested in finding out more, like what platforms are you on or what website was the sort of flowdown?
So it's all on citiesandmemory.com, which is where you'll find the main sound map and all of the players and all the ways you can get involved. But obviously we're on all of the usual social media platforms, and there's a podcast where all the sounds go out across, again, all of the usual places like Spotify and Apple Music and all that type of stuff.
But today we're kind of celebrating sounds that we don't hear as often as we used to. We're just calling it Play It Again, Sam. So we're going to go back to some games now. Astro Wars.
I was so delighted when this one was sent in. So this is a good example of where sounds are really personal. Because I think if you've never held the Astro Wars console in your hand or played it, that sound won't mean that much to you. But for me, I can feel the joystick under my hands. You know, I can imagine myself lying on my bed, age seven, yeah, trying to beat the top score on this thing. So for me, hearing that, it immediately takes me back to my childhood. And it's just so personal.
The sounds, though, how different the sounds were. And as opposed to now, they're like classical compositions. No less.
Exactly. And I think one of the interesting things is the lifespan of sounds now, and how quickly they are becoming obsolete, or they're becoming, they
really
are disappearing. If you think about it, over the grand scheme of things, you know, the sounds you would have heard would have been blacksmiths and church bells, and they wouldn't have changed for, you know, for even hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But now, if you think about, there are sounds that were maybe two years old that already sound obsolete. Exactly. Some of those ringtones, if I talk to you about the Crazy Frog or something, you'll be like, oh, I remember that. That was from one specific 18-month period where everyone had that one ringtone.
Yeah.
So things are changing and disappearing much more quickly than ever before. And I think that's quite an important thing for us to note and try and do something and preserve them.
Okay, what's this one? Games console. This is one of yours?
This is the...
Please, God.
So that is the Vectrex console, which apparently is a bit of a... It's a bit of a curio, because I don't know if you can hear a hum just in the background there. That is apparently because the amplifier was attached to the power board. So every time you turned it on, the power board would make this humming noise. That hum, yeah. And there were all sorts of people hacking their consoles to try and get rid of that buzzing sound. So to find one with an active buzz is actually quite rare, apparently.
So if people go to your Cities and Memory, do you write notes with all these different sounds like you're doing for us in speech?
Yeah, so every time you click on a sound, there's an info button and it tells you that was Pac-Man, for example. And you'll read about the sound, then you can also read about what the artist who's worked with it has done and how they've taken the original sound and what their thought process was. So all of that's on.
Let's have you hear that again. Okay, I'm going to go into my whole world of sounds and try and make sense of it while we hear more music. We're going to hear a minute of this. Let's go for the Four Carnation, a tribute to Why This One, Stuart.
The Four Carnation is an all-timer for me. It's one of my favourite albums. I just think more people need to hear it. So it's Brian McMahon from Slint. It's the band he did after that. And it's all of the quiet, slow bits of Slint stretched out over the course of our whole album. So this is really about the spaces between the notes and the notes that aren't being played. And I just think it's just a beautiful album.
When you were tiny, were you like mad and strange sounds then?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
because, Stuart, you have brought us in so many delicious sounds, I don't want to not play them. So we're going to bring out for the canage and play some glass blowing. And then, do you want to tell us something?
Yeah, so
about...
this is from the World of Glass in St. Helens. So this is the master glassblower, I might get his name wrong, Marcin Shapiga. And that's a sound that's been recorded after the museum is closed. So it's actually him just kind of doing the glassblowing work kind of in private. And I think that's a good example of work sounds are really fascinating. They really bring to life kind of what everything is all about. And that is an example of one that I guess fewer and fewer people are doing, fewer and fewer people are hearing as a result. So glassblowing here in the UK.
Loom weaving. And tell us about this Sonic Heritage project as well, and then we're going to end before we go to the news with the sound of something that maybe people won't want to hear again and again and again. But
so that's traditional silk weaving, which is done on something called a countermarch floor loom. Apparently that's been done in that way for hundreds or maybe even thousands of years. I recorded that on holiday in Skye at Skye Silks. I kind of went in, saw the loom, thought I have to record that, spoke to them in the shop about it, and then they spent a really lovely amount of time telling me about how they did everything and letting me record the sounds close up, which is great.
Stuart, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure welcoming you to the studio. Good luck with your cities and memories. Stay in touch, and if you're doing any sort of live shows, let us know and we can play more music. We'll end with a mix of sounds of the loom weaving, the back to the horrible sound of this, and the equally horrible sound of, I think horrible anyway, of this. Oh. Thank you so much.
Thank you.